it proves that people lied, people covered up things, people hid things. There's no way that anybody could say that it doesn't, because it does. That, to me, throws everything that Amy Boettcher said out the window. Everything.
When this thing goes to court and trial, I have one shot and one opportunity to be not guilty, or I go to prison and death row.
Mm-hmm. That's the reality of it.
We have busted alibis. We have caught people in lies.
This is just insane, because everybody's pointing the finger at somebody else.
You just don't hear every day walking in somebody's house, they're going to take the plastic out and pop somebody.
So he could get the execution date pretty much any day?
Yeah. There's no impediment.
This is Cousins by Blood.
Episode 12, The Rolex. In 2001, Ivan was convicted of capital murder. In Ivan's case, it was capital murder because the state contended he intentionally committed the murder in the course of a robbery. And the robbery consisted of the three items. Hopefully by now, we all know. Amy Kitchen's engagement ring, James' Corvette, and James' Rolex. James wore this Rolex out to his last dinner. The night before his and his fiancée's bodies were found shot to death in their bedroom. And this Rolex had quite a history even before it became a key piece of evidence in a capital murder case. Originally, the watch belonged to Ivan and James' uncle, Lico Cantu. You see, Lico was Ivan's dad, Abner's brother. Abner was married to Ivan's mom, Sylvia, from 1973 to 1982. She met her then-future husband, Abner, and Lico through her mother in the late 60s. And this is Sylvia talking about Lico and the history of this Rolex.
Actually, I met them both together. It was Abner and his brother, Lico, and their best friend. And all three of them had been invited to our house for dinner from Mother. Mother worked with them at a drapery manufacturing company in downtown Dallas. Through the months, they became friends, and she would talk to them. And she spoke Spanish, so they spoke Spanish, and they'd get together for lunch. And they come over one evening. Lico has his girlfriend, and Abner's doesn't have a girlfriend, and neither does his best friend. So we were all about the same age, and we started all going out together. Lico had a car, so we got to go a lot of places with him, and he was the oldest one of Abner's brothers and sisters. Just very jovial. And one of his favorite movies was Pink Panther, and he loved Inspector Clouseau because he was such a nut. And he just laughed hysterically with that movie. But he had a very charismatic personality. He was one of those guys that when he walked into the room, you know, you wanted to meet him, you wanted to be around him. A few years later, Abner and I get married. Lico is working with Abner, and they've started working at the same restaurant, at a five-star restaurant downtown, and Abner was the bar manager, my husband. And Lico was the maitre d' floor manager, and he meets his wife there, and he was probably in his early 30s. One Christmas, she puts out a beautiful dinner for the family, and we go over and had a nice evening and a nice meal with them. She gave him a present, a Christmas present of a diamond-faced gold Rolex. And the diamonds were encircled around the face of the watch. And on the back of it, she engraved it to Lico for all time. Her love, and then her name, and then she dated it December the 25th, 1980. few years later, Matt, his life took a turn.
So Lico received this Rolex in 1980, but here Sylvia fast forwards to one day in 1986. Lico had been on a mysterious business trip out of the country and had flown back into Dallas.
And he had arrived at the airport that day from a business trip, and his mother, he drives to his mother's house and asks his mother to please keep his Rolex watch. Then he drives over to my sister's house, my older sister's house. My brother-in-law had been keeping a gun for Lico. And evidently he didn't want anybody to know about it, so he asked my brother-in-law to hold on to it. Well, when he arrived at their house, he was sweating profusely. He was paranoid. He's looking out the window. He thought people were after him. And he asked my brother-in-law for his gun. And he gets the gun, hands it to Lico. So he figured he was just going to take it home with him. But he starts walking to the backyard and goes out the door. And my brother-in-law is freaking out. Don't do that here. Don't. You think about this. Don't do it. And he, as soon as he hits the back door, he drops to his knees and puts the gun in his mouth. He's gone. It was a terrible tragedy for everybody. Nobody could really fathom him doing that or what the reason was. It was just a total void in his family about that. Edna goes over there. My sister calls my ex-husband, and he goes over there, and I think he was the one that had to call his mother. But she never was the same after that. So now she's in possession of the Rolex, and she goes to Mexico to visit her brother and takes the watch with her, and she gives it to her brother's oldest son. Well, Gladys finds out about that in the States, and she's upset about it because the watch was going to go to her, and the mother had given it to her nephew. So Gladys goes to Mexico, retrieves the watch, and brings it back. So Gladys now has the watch, and we were closing the last house at the subdivision for the builder that James and I worked at, and he asked his mother to borrow the watch because he wanted to celebrate that evening, or Friday evening. So she takes the gun over to, she takes the watch over to James' house and hands it over to him. So James would have only had that Rolex or that watch for that one night to celebrate. That's the path that that watch took. So from as far back as what, 1980 to 20. 40 years. That watch has been a subject in their family all those years. And still is.
So after the murders occur, the crime scene is investigated, and once James and Amy Kitchen's bodies are removed, the house is released back to the families. When Gladys goes into the house, she can't find the Rolex and reports it missing to the police. Like Sylvia said, on the back of this Rolex, the engraving read, "To Lico, only you, for all time. Love, Carol, 12-25-80, making this Rolex one of a kind. Now, at trial, Ivan was prosecuted for capital murder, including stealing this Rolex, because Amy Betcher, Ivan's girlfriend and the state star witness, said Ivan was wearing James' Rolex when he was driving James' Corvette. And in her statement to police, she said,
"We left our apartment and drove to Club 7. On the way to 7, Ivan threw out a Rolex that belonged to James."
So Ivan is convicted in 2001. And as of last year, as far as Ivan and his lawyer knew, this Rolex was never recovered. Well, as you heard last episode, the first time I met with Ivan in prison, we talked about the whole case. And one of the elements he really focused on was this Rolex, and how irrational Amy's statement was about Ivan throwing a Rolex out of the window. Who throws a Rolex out of a window? That stuck with me. And then later, I was talking to Ivan's Aunt Penny. I shared what Ivan had said about the Rolex. I guess that stuck with her, too. Because the following day, she called me back with a stunning revelation.
James' mother is the sister of Ivan's dad. Their brother and sister. Ivan's dad said that underneath James' bed, he had a compartment where he kept his valuables. He cut out a piece of carpet, and I guess he had a cut out piece of area under the bed and covered it with the carpet, and that's where he had his Rolex watch and whatever else he had. Gladys has that Rolex. I'm surprised Sylvie didn't tell you that Gladys had the watch. That's why I text you.
But Sylvia didn't know Gladys had the Rolex. That side of the family had stopped talking to Sylvia after the murders.
I thought, well, maybe he already knows who has the Rolex watch. Why would Amy say Ivan threw it out the window when they never had it?
No, I never heard the Rolex was still around. Huh. So,
yeah.
Because if the Rolex is still around, that's proving Amy lied.
Yeah.
It's hard to prove about the ring. It's hard to prove about this other stuff. But if James' mom still has that Rolex, Ivan's dad, is he still alive?
Yeah.
I guess I need to talk to Ivan's dad.
Yeah, I would, because he's the one that saw it. Mel said he saw the watch that his sister has it.
Hmm.
But, James' mom.
Yeah, and that's his sister, right?
That's his sister. Mm-hmm.
And are they still close?
Well, yeah, they still talk. I mean, this thing is still between them, but, it had nothing to
right.
do with Abner, but they still, it's hard, I'm sure after all these years, to see him and remember all of this. I don't know the relationship. We haven't seen him since then,
mm-hmm.
since all that happened. And really, I didn't know any of these people until that happened, Carlos and Anthony. I didn't know any of those people, only Sylvia did.
You'll remember Penny was with Sylvia when they went to Carlos's house to get the Mustang back from Anthony.
But I was talking to my other sister, and Amy lied. That watch is with Gladys. I told my sister this morning, Melda, her name is Emelda, but we call her Melda.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why would somebody go and murder two people and go through all of that and say, oh, by the way, I need perfume, and take the perfume? I said, that would be a woman. That would be somebody who couldn't afford to buy perfume, that could only think about perfume.
Who took perfume?
Well, that was what I was told, that they made it look like a robbery, and they took the perfume. And I said, they found a small footprint in the bathroom or somewhere in the house.
Like Tammy, Ivan's wife, said last episode, there was a bloody shoe print that was less than a foot from Amy Kitchen's head on the carpet. And like the Rolex, the perfume was news to me also. It wasn't reported in the police records and was nowhere in the trial transcripts.
who's going to commit a murder, murder two people, and say, now that all this is completed, I need to take this perfume. You're not going to rob a house and take perfume and murder two people.
I've never heard of the perfume thing. Who said about the perfume?
Sylvia.
Sylvia said she knew nothing about the missing perfume either. Like a lot of information in this case, people heard a lot of things, but nobody knows where they first heard it, where the information originated from. And that's what made the Rolex so important, because supposedly it was still around. So I needed to talk to Ivan's dad, Abner.
And I think that might be his company cell number. He carries it, from what I remember, but that's the number I have for him.
Okay.
We don't talk to him at all anymore. We used to, but I think Sylvie kind of got mad about us talking to him, and I don't know what that's all about, but my sister and I just quit call, you know, saying, hope you're doing okay or whatever, you know.
So yeah, you haven't talked to Sylvie in a couple years.
Yeah, I haven't talked to her since my mom died.
I tried calling Abner twice. He didn't call me back, but he called Ivan's mom and his ex-wife, Sylvia, and she recorded it.
Okay, anyway, who's that guy that he's calling me two times and never messes one time?
You need to call him back because he's helping. He's a private investigator that's helping Ivan's attorneys.
Okay, what do you want me to tell him?
Answer his questions. Just be honest.
Well, you know, it's been a long time. I don't remember all the guy's names. So
you don't have to. Just answer his questions. If you don't remember, tell him you don't remember.
It seems like everybody in the family had different information about the case, but wasn't talking to each other about it. Abner was well aware of James' drug business and had actually seen things at his house.
You didn't know that James was a drug dealer?
No. Abner, I had him doing the loans for Jay at the property.
Hey.
You'll remember that Sylvia and James were working together at the time of his death. She was selling real estate, and James was the loan officer.
Everybody think that you knew exactly what he was doing.
No. Who's everybody? Nobody ever asked me anything.
Okay.
Nobody ever asked me that question. They never put me on the stand.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you one thing. One time I went over there, I was very angry. And I went and talked to James, okay, about Ivan, what he was doing, selling drugs and using Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
I got mad. I was very upset with him, and mm-hmm. I went over there two times, and I said, you better stop what you're doing or something's going to happen just like my brother.
Don't tell him that.
Let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked at me, and he pulled up a roll of $100 bills and said, look, I'm not
was
your
that
brother.
Before he was killed?
Sylvia was talking over Abner, but Abner was saying that on this encounter, when Abner was over at James' house trying to warn him about the drug business, because that's what he thought got his brother Lico killed, James held up a roll of hundreds and said, look, I'm not your brother. Here it is one more time.
No, let me finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then he looked at me and he pulled up a roll of $100 bills and said, look, I'm not
was
your
that
brother.
Before he was killed?
Before he was killed. Oh, yeah, way before he was killed.
That summer or 2 years before or what?
No, not 2 years now. And it was one time that I went over there. I was working in that place over there on Midway, and I knew he was living there, so I went over there and I tried to talk to him. I don't remember, Sylvia.
Was it the year he was killed?
Maybe before. It was before.
All right, well, that has nothing to do with the night he was killed. All that does is tell you that he told you that he was selling drugs.
Well, in his office, he had a big pot of, you know, when you wash clothes and the old time, those little pots, like, put water, and it was full of marijuana. Not Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And it was full of marijuana or something. He said, he didn't tell me, he didn't show me, he just, and then he
told
flashed
you he
that
had that in the office?
Abner was saying in James' home office, he had a pot or a tub full of marijuana.
Yeah, he said he had something there.
Okay.
And then when I was leaving, a guy came in, some skinny, tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said there were people coming in and out, not to spend the night, but to see him sometimes. I don't know. I don't hang around with him.
at the house? Somebody came over to pick up the drugs at the house or at the house?
I didn't say that he went to pick up drugs. Somebody came in one day when I was at his house. And
Because you told me that you went to his office and some skinny guy came in.
Not on his office. He had a desk in his house, like an office.
Okay. Well, you didn't tell me where you were at.
You've been there.
And
you were there.
You didn't specify if it was the office at the office or the house.
It happened maybe in the year 2000. Okay. 2001, when that's when he went and do that shit.
Well, when you tell Matt that, tell him James had an office in his house and I was in there, and a guy comes in and picks up a wash tub full of marijuana.
I'm not going to say that because I didn't see picking up any drugs.
Well, he came in.
Some white guy came in and said hi, and then when I left, I don't even know who it was. How was I supposed to know what he was doing?
Do you think it was Chris Head?
You'll remember Chris Head's name from the very first episode when Sylvia said she got to the house right after she found out about the murders and said,
I got out of a car and I was walking towards the front door and a policeman stopped me. He says, I'm sorry, you can't come in right now. And he says, the couple in there is dead. I looked in the middle of the street and there's Chris Head. And I thought, well, what is he doing here and how does he know about this? And I blinked and as soon as I opened my eyes again, he was gone. I mean, like a flash.
And so who else was in that crowd that you recognize?
No one, just immediate neighbors.
Just the immediate neighbors and Chris Head.
No,
Chris Head was skinny, and he was tall, and he used to work with James, but he didn't have a mortgage license. He used Chris to keep an eye on the office door at his office.
Do you know that guy, Chris?
Yeah.
And there was an anonymous tip to police that revealed that James and Chris had a, quote, huge falling out, unquote, right before the murders. And I've got some more information to tell you about Chris Head, but that's still coming down the line. The reason Sylvia had wanted to talk to her ex-husband Abner was to find out about the Rolex.
Who has the Rolex? Does Gladys have the Rolex?
You'll remember Gladys is James' mom and Abner's sister.
Gladys has the Rolex.
Okay, you need to tell Matt that. That will help Ivan get a new trial. I'm going to tell you something, Abner. You never sat down with me. I never sat down with you and Gladys and Elaine and talked about this case and what James was doing, what that guy was doing in James' house, what Gladys talked to James about when she wanted to spend the night over there, and he told her no. He had people coming over, and he didn't want her there.
Who told you? Where do you get all this information?
She told me when I went over there with Frank and her.
Gladys's husband was also named Frank Mosqueda, but he's not to be confused with Frank Perez, the roommate.
Who told you?
Gladys.
She told you that?
Yeah. She was supposed to spend the night Friday night, and James told her she can't come.
Who changed his mind? Her mind? James?
James. He says, don't come.
Okay.
I have people coming over.
So he knew that somebody was coming over then?
Oh, yeah.
And who was coming over?
The problem is, there's two problems.
I want to explain.
No, hang on. We don't know who was coming over. This is the problem. When I did the safety check with the police after leaving James's house, and the police went over there with me to see if anybody was dead in where Ivan was staying at that apartment with that girl, the apartment was clean. There wasn't any trash. Everything was wiped down. There wasn't any dirty dishes.
I hear there was a pair of jeans with blood over there.
Hold on. I'm telling you right now what I know. The police and I were in there, and there was nothing on the counters. There was nothing in the trash can except a clean trash liner, and nothing was on the counters. There were no dishes, no beer boxes, no bloody pants, no bloody socks. Nothing was in the trash can. When the police go over there on Monday, they did the search warrant, and they found the bloody jeans and the socks and everything else. And like somebody had a party in there.
Or maybe somebody must have put them in there.
After the police and I left, somebody went in there and planted all that stuff in the apartment. And somebody,
how do you know this?
Abner, I'm telling you, I was in there Saturday night with the police, and I told Matt, this, I've never seen these pictures. He sent me those pictures, and I said, I never saw that. The police and I were in that apartment. None of this was there.
What kind of pictures were those?
I'll have to show you when you come over.
Do you remember that Ivan's girlfriend testifies against Ivan and tell everything that Ivan did that
Abner,
night?
Abner, she lied. She lied. The prosecution set her up and told her what to say because they needed her to testify against Ivan so that somebody would go to prison.
What in the hell they have all this evidence against Ivan?
They don't. That's just the point. They just all of a sudden they checked his apartment and all that stuff is in there. With the police and I were in there, nothing was in there.
So how can you find the gun under her couch?
I don't know. That's something he's going to have to find out.
Where did he got that gun anyway, if he was here?
We don't even know if it's his.
Like you heard last episode, the gun was registered to another man, whose name we have, and is being investigated on how Ivan, Amy, or someone else could have gotten that gun from the owner.
What am I going to say about the Rolex?
Tell him the truth that Gladys has it. The last time you knew that Gladys had it. The thing is, they're trying to find evidence that proves Ivan innocent so they don't kill him. That's all they want. They want to know the truth because nothing's adding up.
Okay, so what's the best time to call this guy?
Right now.
And Abner did call me, and he cut right to the chase. And Abner did call me. And he cut right to the chase.
What is it that you wanted to know? Sylvia told me to call you, and I don't know how to explain it to you, but there's three guys that were involved with my nephew, for one of his friends of his. One is Anthony Fonseca, mm-hmm. The other one is Carlos Gonzalez, and Sylvia knows those names. And another guy is Francisco something. He came in from Corpus Christi and spent the night there or something. That's what I hear.
The same names continue to pop up in this case. Carlos, Anthony, and Frank Perez, the mysterious roommate.
And also, he said something about a Rolex.
A Rolex, yes, sir.
Well, the Rolex never was stolen. The Rolex came back to my sister because it was my brother's Rolex, and when my brother died, it went to her possession. So what I hear, what I know is that he borrowed that Rolex right before he died. And my sister, when the police came in, my sister talked to the policeman, and they recuperated the Rolex. And my sister had the Rolex from my brother. It never was stolen. I don't know if he's stealing any jewelry or money or nothing like that. All I know is there was a lot of a lot of people that he hang around, and I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to figure it out what could have happened. It was a real world setup because what I hear from Sylvia and evidence, you know, they really did a good job on that stuff. But I don't know if Ivan will have the guts to do that, you know? I mean, honestly. You know, I don't know what to tell you right now at this point. I'm here to help you what I can. I mean, he's been there, 18 years in that jail?
Yes,
my
sir.
God.
What would really help me is if I could get a picture of that Rolex, just to be able to prove to his lawyer, say a picture front and back, because it had an inscription on the back that said Lico, right?
There was his wife bought it for him, and they put his name in the back of the watch. And in the back of the watch,
right,
ended up in Mexico, and because my mom was losing a He was losing memory lapse and dementia and stuff like that, you know, Alzheimer's. So she gave the Rolex to her brother's son, in Mexico, okay? So when my sister found out about that Rolex, she didn't get real happy about it. So she went and got it. And to tell you the truth, I don't know if I can give you a picture of that, but it's just, you know, what I would say, more than 10, 15 years old Rolex. More.
Right.
2001, before, maybe.
But your sister Gladys has that Rolex, is what you're saying.
Yes.
But for Abner, it's much easier said than done to get a picture of that Rolex, because...
Okay, let me explain something to you. For a long time, long time, I didn't talk to my sister. Just remember what Ivan has been accused, okay? Killing my sister's son and fiancé, okay? That's horrible. I don't know how to explain it to you how I feel when I hear the news, okay? I got real sick. I lost all my hair. I mean, I went through a very, very emotional shock, you know? And I lost my brother in 86, shot and killed, okay? So, that's the guy who used to own the Rolex, okay? And so, you know, it wasn't easy for me to deal with my sister. I still cannot deal with my sister real well. You know, the mother of James, okay?
Right.
And my sister, my older sister. It's, you know, how can I put it together to comprehend? So I don't know what to do and how to do it, but if you want a picture of the Rolex, what has the Rolex got to do with James and Ivan's killing? Is what I understand.
It was hard for Abner to understand the Rolex's significance, the whole family, actually. And that's why this information was never put together before now. But since Amy specifically said Ivan stole this Rolex and threw it out the window, and now there's proof he did not, that's perjury, putting all of Amy's statements in question. You see, right after the murders, James' mom reported this Rolex is missing because it wasn't in the house. But at some point after that...
The cops called my sister and gave him the Rolex to her. Because somebody else took it. Somebody else took it. And the guy who took it, it was James' fiance, brother, took it out of the house.
James' fiance, Amy Kitchen, her brother was Mark Kitchen.
So Mark Kitchen had the Rolex, Kitchen's brother?
That's what my sister told me, that he took it. My sister told me that the brother of Amy took the watch out of the house, not Ivan. And my sister told the police, so the police find out and the guy brought the Rolex back. Okay, so the cops called my sister and she got it back. This happened in 2001, 18, 19 years ago. And I told my sister, I said, do you have any proofs or a paper? They go, no, I don't have a paper. They just give it back to me because I called the police and told them that I had a watch over here in the house and I couldn't find it. And finally, she said that her brother took it, Amy's brother. So I don't know what that girl, that little girl, Ivan's girlfriend from Arkansas, her name was Amy too, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she had said, but she wanted to cover her ass, her back. So I don't know exactly what went on, I tell you, Mr. Matt, but it was a big mystery and a lot of coincidence things. You know, I could not believe that Ivan would take the girl back to the crime scene
right. And
show the bodies and take off the ring or whatever. It's just something very unbelievable.
Yeah. But if we can prove that with the picture of that Rolex and say like on a newspaper that has today's date, then that would prove that she was lying about the Rolex. And then I think that puts everything back in question.
Let me talk to my sister today and I'll get back to you in the next day or two.
So how and why did Amy Kitchen's brother have James's Rolex? and somehow the Rolex was never reported as found and returned, so there was no paper trail in the case file. But sure enough, a few days later, Abner came through, and he got a picture of the Rolex. And I had to immediately call Ivan's wife, Tammy, with the good news. The Rolex had officially been located. I thought Tammy would have been ecstatic, but it seemed the opposite was true. She was livid.
Well, I believe that a lot of crimes were committed. Not the kind of crimes Ivan was convicted of or arrested for. There was a lot of other crimes that have, that it's right there. Perjury by the state, perjury by Amy Betcher. The family covered up evidence. And I've talked to some of these family members, and they've never once ever mentioned that they had this watch. Never. And how could anybody not think that that's not important?
But James' family did not realize Amy Betcher even said Ivan stole the watch. They hadn't gone over the case file like Tammy had for the past 15 years.
It was in every search warrant. It was made part of the case in court because they used the robbery angle to use the death penalty. So if they have the watch, he didn't rob them. He didn't have it. So how credible does that make anybody who testified? It proves that people lied. People covered up things. People hid things. There's no way that anybody could say that it doesn't, because it does. That, to me, throws everything that Amy Betcher said out the window. Everything.
Like the Rolex is supposed to be thrown out the window.
Exactly. If it comes out that the cops had her lie, then that proves that there was a cover-up from Jump Street. That proves that that Ivan was set up. The jeans were the wrong size. The watch was never lost or stolen or thrown out the window. But Betcher had all these facts that she testified to that went along with every point of the state's case.
Well, it sounds like James' family reported it missing. And from what Abner says, Mark Kitchen somehow took the Rolex with him and at some point maybe gave it back to the police, and then the police gave it back to Gladys.
And doesn't that right there say cover up? Shouldn't the police have said, whoa, red flag, somebody lied? He couldn't have thrown it out the window if Miss Kitchen's family had it. And how would they know to look under the carpet?
Yeah, that's what I don't know, if it was actually in the safe.
And that's a conversation that Sylvia told me years ago that she had with Carlos the day they did their interviews at Dallas Police Department, that her and Carlos had a conversation about that safe, about it being in the floor somewhere. Nobody knew where it was.
Sylvia told me the same thing. You heard this in episode 6.
I said, pull into a Burger King or somewhere and get some hamburgers. I'll pay for it.
So was Carlos saying anything else about the murders or Ivan or anything?
Yeah, I'm driving.
Point?
Yeah, not that. But he says, do you know that James kept money in the house? I said, no. Did you know he had a safe that was poured into the slab? I said, no, I don't know anything about that. He says, yeah, he always kept $35,000 cash on him. I said, he never shared that with me.
Hmm.
Now, he's making small talk. The last thing I'd be telling people is that I know he kept money in the house. If James had a safe in the house, he's not going to tell anybody. He was smarter than that. Well, would have kept somebody from going over there and making him open up his safe.
So the next thing is to try to figure out how to approach Mark Kitchen.
Mark is the father or the son?
He's the son.
Okay, the son is also the one who stole the black book with all the drug transactions in it.
So like the missing perfume, this is another story that's been floating around the family for years. I haven't found out who said this originally and how they knew this, but apparently it does come from James' side of the family. The story is that Amy Kitchen kept a journal or a diary with James' drug transactions in it. and that sometime right after the murders, Mark Kitchen got the drug journal and took it out of the house. But none of that has ever been substantiated. However, if it was true, then that would seem to imply that Mark Kitchen...
He knew about the business.
Yeah.
And knew kind of what all they were keeping in the house. It sounds like he must have known where the safe was. I don't know. It just sounds like as soon as they released the crime scene and got the bodies out of there, what, Saturday afternoon, it was just a free-for-all in that house of people.
Yeah.
You'll remember that Sylvia said Gladys told her that Frank Perez was seen by James' family taking James' business papers and some checks out of the house. But it seems no one really knows to what extent items were removed from the house after the murders. And at this point, it's unknown how Mark Kitchen returned the Rolex and it was given back to Gladys, and how that never made it into the case file. There were still a lot of questions. Abner had just met with Gladys to get the picture of the Rolex. So Sylvia and I got Abner back on three-way.
I said, how did you get the watch? And she goes, well, this and this happened. She reported to the police. So when the police take a note and find out what was missing or whatever, the watch was in the list. So when Mark Kitchen, maybe somebody called him or somebody tell him that they were looking for this, they were looking for that, they were kind of, and so he turned it in. And the police called my sister Gladys and say, look, this is how I got it. I said, really? You hate the police call? Yeah. And I went to pick it up downtown. And this happened years ago. I said, really? I said, well, you know what? They've been accusing Ivan that he stole that watch, that girl, his girlfriend, and they threw her out of the window the day of the crime. So this means she's been lying when they put him on the stand. And I tried to tell him that. I said, oh, really? I said, yeah. So the watch, you had it. I need for you. Show me the watch. And please let me take a picture to send it to Mr. Mack, the private investigator.
Abner had gotten the picture, but I really needed to talk directly to Gladys to find out what additional information she would tell me. I just needed a translator.
And maybe the easiest thing is not for, if it's still very tense between you and Gladys, maybe whoever Gladys feels comfortable with translating for.
No, I'm going to ask him to call Sylvia. I'm going to ask him to call Sylvia and he can explain it in Spanish because Sylvia speaks Spanish. So maybe she feels better, more comfortable talking to her and let him know what she can do. And you know, she always say, you know, nobody believes that he will do that and this and that. He never have a gun. And in my lifetime, I never see him with a gun or playing with guns or shit like that. I mean, you know, it's just kind of really bizarre story that out of the blue, he goes there and chat to people, you know.
So do you think that Gladys believes that Ivan killed him or doesn't believe it?
No. Sometimes she say, why don't he tell the truth to his mom? I say, Gladys, he's always been saying that he didn't do it. He didn't do it, that he's telling the truth. I mean, obviously, there was other people involved in there. There were three guys, you know, they hang around with James. And, you
what
know, you
can,
Carlos Gonzalez, Anthony Fonseca, and what was the other one? Perez?
Francisco Perez.
Okay, those three guys were involved in this shit. I know they were. Because they had to be. Because they were around in that time that this happened and everybody disappeared suddenly. It's what my sister Gladys told me. That you still think that you investigate deeper and deeper more those guys because one of the guys was staying over there with James or something out of town.
Was staying with
James. I never meet none of the three guys, okay? And one of the guys was the nephew or cousin of Gilberto, the one that's the husband of little Gladys, okay?
They call Gladys's daughter little Gladys. And so, there's actually another family connection in this case. Anthony is a cousin to little Gladys's husband, Gilberto, which makes for an even more tangled web of people potentially involved.
I mean, to me, in my feelings, to my knowledge,
they set him up real well, put a lot of evidence, and that Ivan's girlfriend lying like that, and you know, her father being a police officer, and they're gonna tell her what to say, what not to say to cover her ass, or she's gonna end up in jail for the rest of her life because she was accomplished, even if she didn't pull the trigger. But you know, I mean, there's a lot of speculation that you can think. I mean, I don't know what to tell you right now. They find a few things in Ivan's place. You know, how stupid can you be? I mean, to go and shoot somebody, kill somebody, and come back to the crime scene and do this and do that, and then drive the car, leave your car in your apartment. How stupid can you be?
Yeah, ask Gladys if I can call her.
Yeah, okay.
A few days later, Sylvia and I got Gladys on three-way.
Está en el teléfono ahorita, a ver si lo puedes a decir. Matt, ask your question and I'll interpret it for you.
Thank you for talking with me, Gladys. Tell me what happened with the Rolex and how you got that back and when you got that back.
Because Mark had grabbed or taken it, Amy's brother. The cops called her and told her that she had to show up before midnight to pick it up because he had stolen it. So I picked it up before 2 a.m. because he had stolen it. And the ring, they took it off her finger after she was dead. Who knows who would do that after she was dead? I told them the first year, and no one listened, that they needed to investigate Carlos Gonzalez, Anthony Fonseca, and the guy from Corpus. They didn't listen, so I don't know. They should have investigated them from the beginning. That's what I told the detective. That's all I told him.
She told the detective for over a year, nobody listened to her, that they needed to investigate Carlos and Anthony Fonseca.
Really?
Mm-hmm, and nobody paid attention to her.
But why does she feel like that?
Because that day, Carlos Gonzalez went to Waco for his grandma. The other went who knows where, and they went to Arkansas, so I didn't suspect them at first.
What about Francisco Perez? What does she think about him?
That guy came from Corpus. Who knows? I wasn't there, but I didn't know until they died. I never knew him.
Well, she knew that Frank Perez was staying with James for about 3 weeks, right? Does she know that Frank Perez
was Frank se estaba quedando ahí con James la noche que tú ibas a quedarte ahí?
No, yo me iba a quedar.
I was going to stay a week before because my truck didn't work, but I didn't end up staying. I didn't know until the very end when it happened. I didn't know or notice anything. Why didn't Ivan do this the first year or the second? It's been 18 years and everyone is lying. Because everyone says Ivan killed him. Carlos went to my job and told them Ivan killed him. He should say the truth. Who sent him or who did it? He should have talked the first or third year, not 18 years later. Who sent Ivan or what did they tell him or who did it? Someone has to know something. Ivan has to know. I don't want them to kill him or anyone. I don't wish death on anyone. I just want to know the truth. Who killed them? That girl that came from Arkansas, she was a liar. Everyone lied. I still don't know what happened, who killed them, why they killed them. The truth needs to come out.
There's one person who should know the truth. That girl from Arkansas, Amy Betcher. And actually, she was originally from Minnesota. Shortly after the trial, she moved back up there. So it's time to take a trip up to the Twin Cities and see what Amy has to say about this whole situation 20 years later. But locating her would be a whole nother story.
How's it going?
Hi.
I'm Matt.
This
is Easy. Look for Amy back.
Oh, gosh, she was evicted out of here. It was a crazy ongoing thing. She had people staying here, and
She had one guy, I guess, making, what we found, the way we found out is because we heard a loud poof like that. And she had some guy staying here. He was making homemade bombs. Does that sound right?
Homemade bombs?
Handmade, homemade, yeah. He walked one over there and it blew up in his, and it blew his hand. Oh, I lost my shit.
Next time on Cousins by Blood. To find out more about the case and to see pictures of the Rolex and LecoCan too, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Cousins by Blood Podcast. If you have any information about this case, you can message through social media or email us at cousinsbybloodpodcast@gmail.com. Gladys's interview translated and read by Liz Rose. Amy Betcher's line, read by Sarah Ganong. Mixing and mastering by Jody Abbott. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned.